Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll join with us here this afternoon. Stick with us, and I hope you were blessed with Pastor Lutz and his program before us. I encourage you to tune into that at 1 o'clock for the cause of Christ, and stay tuned at 2 o'clock for Pastor Rusnacko, and always he'll always get you thinking. And, well, in the meanwhile, we're going to try and share a few things with you from the Word of God as well. Hopefully be a blessing to you. And let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless, Lord, use us for your glory. Thank you that we have the freedom to do this. And so for the time that we have the freedom, help us to take advantage of it, to serve you and to encourage others. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a number of things going on, and try to focus on a couple things here. I appreciate Pastor Lutz the last 2 weeks talking a bit about the House Bill 5, the Equality Act in the U.S. Congress. It passed, unfortunately, in the Democrat left-leaning House of Representatives, which is not surprising. But we also, because we have two houses, it's got in the Senate now, and hopefully it will fail in the Senate. That's what we need to pray for. If you have the opportunity, you should contact your senator, call them, email them, take opportunity to let them know that they need to vote no on the Equality Act. It's an overreaching act that will cause many problems for Christians and churches across this country. And this is certainly a reason why so many of us supported the Pastors Protection Act, which really should have been called the Pastor and Church Protection Act here in Ohio. Unfortunately, the left managed to put enough pressure on key individuals in the Ohio House and Senate that they killed that each time, and maybe one of these days it'll come back. One representative, Nino Vitale, came under a lot of pressure when he was sponsoring that bill, but an act like that would have possibly given Ohio pastors and Ohio churches some defense should this Federal Equality Act, H.R. 5, pass. And one of the things that's so bad about this H.R. 5 is that it actually eliminates exemptions for Christians in such in various areas, forcing Christian doctors and nurses to participate in abortions, for instance. And we have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that was actually signed into law by President Bill Clinton back in the 90s. And this House H.R. 5, the Equality Act, actually says that specific things you cannot refer to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act for an exemption from it. And it's a very heavy-handed thing. And so do pray that this does not make it through the Senate. All right. I wanted to mention that also. I want to remind you, of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Excuse me, I seem to have a little bit of a, I don't know what, not a hoarse or a sore throat. It's just a lot of congestion today or something. So excuse my voice here this afternoon. I think it sounds a little gravelly. But I wanted to remind you that we have our Excuse me. We have our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's where we meet, Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, easy to get to right off the highway. We're right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross, so very easy to get to from anywhere in the Akron or Cleveland area. And we, of course, meet there every Friday night, 7 o'clock, informal Bible study. You bring the questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, just like we do on the radio program on Sunday nights in particular. And then, of course, and that's a reminder that we have a Sunday night program here on AM 1220, 11 o'clock till midnight every Sunday night. And we tend to open up the phone lines a lot for that program, not as much here on our Friday program. But also wanted to mention that our Sunday services are there. We also, our church does not have a building. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and you can find us there Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is our morning service. I'm currently preaching through the book of 2 Timothy, a great book. And then on Sunday night, I've taken on the challenge of preaching through the book of Proverbs. Some books are easier to preach through than others. Proverbs is proving to be a challenge as we've gotten into the middle of the book. So in that challenge, in that the material's difficult, it's a challenge in that there's so many just individual proverbs, which is why it's called Proverbs, and trying to relate some of them to each other and string some of them together and try to find themes sometimes. It makes it more challenging to put it together in a way that it'll be a blessing. And so just join us for that. And then, of course, Sunday nights, 11 o'clock here on the radio. Also wanted to mention coming up, there's a benefit spaghetti dinner on March the 20th. This is Saturday, March the 20th, from 4 to 9 p.m. And this is to raise money for the family of a young man, a relatively young man who went to be with the Lord, and his family, of course, a lot of financial expenses. He was a member of Grace Baptist Church in Brunswick. His father actually goes to our church, and so we wanted to help out a little bit because the family's got a lot of medical bills. And this will be March the 20th, Saturday, March the 20th, from 4 to 9 p.m., and you can call. I'll give you two numbers here that you can call for tickets or more information. You can call Cliff at 216-903-7709. That's Cliff at 216-903-7709. Or you can call Nadine at 440-522-9986. That's Nadine, 440-522-9986. And the tickets for the benefit spaghetti dinner, are $15. It includes all you can eat, homemade spaghetti and meatballs, bread, salad, beverages, and a dessert. You can eat in at the church there, or you can carry out or have curbside pickup. That's also available. So this is Saturday, March the 20th, 4 to 9 p.m., Grace Baptist Church in Brunswick, Ohio. They're located on 3480 Laurel Road. And call Cliff, 216-903-7709, or Nadine, 440-522-9986. For more information or to get a ticket, you can also get tickets at the door. All right, we'll be mentioning that again and try to raise money for the family to help with their medical bills. And let's see, I think that's the main things I want to mention before I get into what we're talking about here today. I was looking at some things that are happening. There's so many things happening. You mentioned the House H.R. 5, the Equality Act, and certainly if you're not familiar with that, get online, search it out, see what's going on, call your senators here in Ohio, Senator Brown, Senator Portman, and ask them to vote no or send them an email or something, but let your voice be heard. We are in a representative form of government. which means that Senator Brown, Senator Portman are supposed to represent your interests, but they can't know your interests unless you let them know. So please contact them. You can go online, search for them. You'll find their contact information rather than me sharing it all here right now. Encourage you to do that. Also, it's been in the news, of course, President Biden, I still have trouble saying that, but President Biden called the people in Texas Neanderthals, essentially. Neanderthal thinking, called them Neanderthals because Texas has opened their state up. No more mask mandate, and no more social distancing mandate, no more closure mandate, no more lockdown mandate. Mississippi did the same thing as well, and so they're opened up. Florida, of course, has been open, and they've been doing quite well. Of course, you know, you listen to the naysayers on the left, and unfortunately not all of them are on the left, but now, there's people out there convinced that COVID Armageddon is going to take place because of this. But no, they're recognizing, they're following the science. You know, I can talk about this. I've had COVID, and most of our listeners know that. I was in the hospital with COVID-caused pneumonia back in January. So I know what this is like. I know people. My wife had, of course, she didn't have it near as bad as I did. I know people who have died from coronavirus. And so I'm not saying this flippantly or without giving thought to the matter, but essentially, we're not doing ourselves any favors by staying all locked up and behind these face masks. And there's actually, I've posted on my Facebook page and some of our other social media, Parler and MeWe and USA.life, and another one that I've been using, Zapit, a study where an anesthesiologist, he'd been a board-certified anesthesiologist for over 30 years, and he crunched the data, looked at the statistics, did some experiments with vapor and mass, and found that best thing that you could be doing rather than wearing a mask is probably carrying a handkerchief. If you feel the need to cough or sneeze, cough into the handkerchief. If you don't have that, cough into your elbow like we've all been taught to do. Because the problem is when you're wearing the face mask, it might block some droplets, which you can drop by coughing or sneezing into your elbow or in better yet into a handkerchief. They leak out, the aerosols leak out, and the aerosols go out behind you, behind your ears, to the person behind you. They go out, shoot up over your eyes and under your chin, all over the place, because air finds the least resistance to escape. Even if you've got a properly fitted N95, when you breathe in, it presses against your face ceiling, so your air coming in filters, but when you breathe out, the mask tends to push away from your face because of the denser pores, and so the air leaks out all around the sides and particularly behind your ears and up over your eyes, and that's not doing anybody any good. So you're better off, like he said, coughing or sneezing into your elbow or into a handkerchief, and so you can find some of this information, but divert a little off onto that too much, but fact of the matter is, it's good to see some of these states are opening up, and there's challenges that have been into the Supreme Court, and I think there was an injunction given temporarily allowing some churches in California to meet, and of course, you know, we shouldn't need this. I'm reminded what somebody was saying about their right to carry, as in terms of carrying a firearm. They said, somebody asked him, do you have a right to carry, or you know, what's your, gives you this permission? He says, oh, my permission slip is kept in Washington, D.C., under glass. And he was referring, of course, to the United States Constitution that says in the Second Amendment, the well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's pretty straightforward. But here's the other thing, the First Amendment. We've talked about this a lot on the radio. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon, giving you the pronunciation or the punctuation points here, marks here, because people think these are separate sentences. It's all one sentence. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon, or abridging the freedom of speech, comma, or of the press, semicolon, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, comma, and to petition the government for redress of grievances, period. That period doesn't get there until the end of the First Amendment, which means that all this stuff, speech, press, assembly, and petitioning the government for redress of grievances, all goes to protecting the freedom of religion. That's what the whole purpose of this is. And because if you don't have freedom of religion, you don't have these other things. And so there should be no question that the federal government does not have the right, or a state government does not have the right, any level of government does not have the right to completely ban the assembling of Christians together for the purposes of worshiping God. They shall make no law respecting establishment of religion, yes, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, specifically the right of the people peaceably to assemble. And there's a reason that the left wants us to not assemble. It's because there's something that happens when people come together. Have you ever been at a meeting or something, an in-person? Remember back in the days when you had in-person meetings? Many of you still hopefully are going to in-person meetings, whether it's a church, a school function, or some community organization or whatever, or just a gathering of friends or family. There's something that happens in person that does not take place over Zoom meetings or over some other online type of Google Meet or something like that that you're trying to meet. Those things are useful, but you lose certain opportunities, shall we say, to network, to touch base, just to interact and encourage and just learn things by talking with people as people mill about after the meeting oftentimes. And in Hebrews chapter 10, God tells us this, and this is a passage I wanted to read because I think this is so important today. We see people that are questioning, do we really need to meet together as Christians? There's some government officials have been saying, oh, you don't need to do that. They allow some bars and stuff, and they allow people to go to the grocery store and all that, where there's people mingling around, but they don't want them going to church. Well, there's research that's been done. Barna did some research asking the question, could digital prayer and worship be the new norm for churches? Well, I would hope not, because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 says this. I'm sorry, not verse 20, verse 23, where he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And then he says in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, we're still in the same sentence here. Verse 23, verse 24, verse 25, same sentence. And so verse 25 continues and concludes the sentence by saying, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, here's what I believe God is trying to tell us here. Verse 23, the beginning of the sentence, let us hold fast a profession of our faith without wavering. And when we look at that, the world throws a lot of challenges against Christians, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It's easy to back off. It's easy to be strong in your witness for Christ, especially when you feel you're all on your own. And the end of the sentence in verse 25, I'm sorry, the middle of the sentence in verse 24, I get ahead of myself, it said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, when we come together, when we assemble with fellow believers in a church setting, We come together to worship the Lord, to learn about God, to share things. And then after the service, you know, some churches, it's unfortunate, but if you've ever visited some churches, I hope you're not in a church like this. It's like when the last prayer is said and the amen is said, and if you're a visitor, you look up and there's nobody there. You see the bulletin settling down on the pew and the dust settling because at last amen, people shoot out of there. And, you know, I've been in churches like that. I've visited churches like that where, as a visitor, you know, my wife and I and the pastor, I think, were the only people left practically when the last amen was said. But what about a church where everybody hangs around afterwards and talks? They interact with one another. They share things that are happening in their lives. They share prayer requests with each other. They encourage one another. And as the Bible says, considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke is not used in the sense here of make them upset, but to motivate unto love and to good works. As somebody says, you know, I was at work the other day, or I was at school the other day, and somebody asked me about going to church, and you know, I should have spoke up and been more forthcoming explicit in telling them about going to church and why I think it's important, and looking for an opportunity to share my faith and maybe invite them to our church, but I didn't. I just sort of backed down and I wimped out, basically. Well, that happens. And somebody says, you know, that happened to me as well. And I used to have a problem with that until the Lord showed me something and it encouraged me. And you know what they're doing then? Provoking one another unto love and to good works. This is something that's hard to do on a Zoom meeting. This is something that's hard to do over an internet connection. You know, most Zoom meetings and Google Meet meetings and other online meetings that I've been to, what happens when the meeting is over? Everybody clicks off. You don't have people milling around talking with each other. And this idea of keeping churches from coming together, people from meeting together, this is contrary to God's word. He says we are to let us hold fast a profession of our faith without wavering, for he, meaning God, is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then he says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And that's what kind of distressed me looking at this question in the Barna research, could digital prayer and worship be the new norm for churches? And some church leaders are seriously looking at this. Now, before COVID-19, coronavirus, and all that come around, we had been doing online services through various platforms and still are through YouTube at the moment. And that's because we've had people from time to time, either traveling or illness or whatever the reason, were not able to make it, and they would watch online. And that's a service, but it's not a replacement. For some people, that's all that they're able to do. And so as a consequence, it's a good backup plan, so to speak, but it's not to be the norm. And these people that are trying to say that this could be the norm, this is wrong. In the research, they said that over 68% of Christians say they are currently engaging in online worship and prayer services. And it's nice that they're doing that rather than nothing. But part of the problem, it's not just that people are getting comfortable not getting out of their house, actually picking up their Bible. I hope you take your Bible when you go to church. And taking the time, making the effort to drive to where the church meets and to meet with fellow Christians and to sing the songs glorifying and lifting up our Savior, and then listening to a Bible-based message, and then taking the time to assemble and encourage one another, he says. Like he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is more and more important as we get closer to the Lord's return. Churches ought to be at the forefront of opening their doors and welcoming people in. If you need a mask, wear a mask. If you're sick, stay home. But in the meanwhile, don't be afraid of a little virus that kills less than 1% of the people that get affected by it. Get out and live your life. Get into church. Be around other Christians. Provoke one another to love and to good works. Encourage and exhort one another, and so much the more as the day's approaching. And reach people with Jesus Christ. I hope you know him as your Savior today. God bless. Get in church today.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.